Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mighty blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the discernment. Thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding of the days to come so we can cooperate with you in these days, Lord. Thank you, Father, for putting faith in our hearts and drawing us unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to share a revelation we call Work of the Man-Child Reformers. And the first revelation we're going to share under this title is Man-Child Overcomers Knighted by the King. This was given to Claire Pinar, 8/12/21. And Claire said, I had a quick vision of a Dementor's hands reaching out and tearing the flesh off of David Eales' chest, exposing his lungs. Oh, happy day. Well, spiritually, this represents the separation of the flesh nature from the life of the spirit, which is the same word for breath, and that is in the lungs, of course. Many times this is accomplished through trials, temptations, torments from the devil and his tormenting demons that use vessels of dishonor to crucify our flesh so that Christ can be manifested in us. And David here represents the first fruits body of the David man-child ministers, who are the first to overcome and come into the image of Christ. They're the first fruits, but not the last fruits. Thank God. So this is an allegory, a representation of the crucifixion of Jesus. When we are put through the trials of this life and the crucifying process of death to self, we become overcomers like the eagle or blood eagle who soars above the curse of this world and the fleshly earth of this life, right? The Vikings had a ritual execution that they called the blood eagle. The Viking sagas described the ritual execution of blood eagle, in which victims were kept alive while their backs were sliced open so that their ribs, lungs, and intestines could be pulled out into the shape of bloody wings, in between, of course, the ribs. The victim's hands and legs were tied to prevent escape or sudden movements. And then the person seeking vengeance stabbed the victim by his tailbone and upwards towards the rib cage. Each rib was then meticulously separated from the backbone with an axe, which left the victim's internal organs on full display. The victim is said to have remained alive throughout the entire procedure. And what's worse, the Vikings would then literally rub salt into the gaping wound in the form of a saline stimulant. As if this wasn't enough, after having all the person's ribs cut away and spread out like giant fingers, the torturers then pulled out the lung of the victim to make it appear as if the person had a pair of wings spread out on his back. The poets who wrote down these sagas were very specific in methods that the Vikings used. Surely someone actually tried this torture method because of the gory details that someone described. And we'll give a link here to those who want to look into this more deeply. Can't imagine why. Well, in the dream, she said, I quickly prayed in the spirit and commanded the angelic hosts to minister to him in Jesus' name. I rebuked all faction and witchcraft away from him. The prayer was not elaborate, just quick and simple, but intentional. Yes, of course, we should intercede for this man-child leadership body that's out there and preparing to go to work. And, of course, the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child before being caught up to the throne, as in Revelation 12. And we should pray that the Lord empower and strengthen them to overcome all their enemies who are the spiritual offspring of those who tortured Jesus, because history repeats, right? Then I saw a white horse glowing with golden glory. The white horse was ridden by the king. He did not dismount from it, but it was huge. The front leg alone was almost the entire size of David. It stamped its front foot in front of David. Well, the horse, we have a saying, put his foot down, which means enough. It's time to take down the enemies. This is a war horse, right? They're snorting to go, right? To take down the enemies, which David did to the factious Edomites when he was anointed. The white horse rider of Revelation 6 is Jesus, and the horse is the sanctified body of the man-child that he reigns over. You know, we harness horses to do our work for us, and the Lord is harnessing this horse. This horse represents the same thing as the David man-child here. So all of the horses in Revelation 6 are bodies of people ruled by their spirit riders who bring about the judgments that are written there. The equivalent of this is Jesus ruling in the body of the corporate man-child to reform and to take God's people through their 7-year wilderness tribulation period. This is the epiphany that the Bible speaks of in 1 John, which we'll share in just a minute. Epiphany means the shining forth from. The Lord is coming in his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is coming. And the first fruits, of course, will be a leadership, as throughout history there has been man-child leaderships, you know, to guide the people, who are all persecuted and hated, usually. Revelation 6, 2-8 says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, Come. And another horse came forth, a red horse, and to him that sat thereon it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." So, okay, after the white horse, by the way, the white horse is the one that opens all the other seals. You know, Moses represented that in his day, and he brought those other judgments, the ones we're talking about now. He brought those upon Egypt, right? So he takes peace from the earth. That means, obviously, war. That they should slay one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. And I saw, and behold, a black horse, and he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a shilling, and 3 measures of barley for a shilling. And the oil and the wine hurt thou not. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth living creature saying, Come. And I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and he that sat upon him, his name was Death. There's the demon of death. And Hades followed with him. And there was given unto them authority over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So, once again, let me say, Moses is the one that brought those judgments in Exodus upon the Egyptians in order to set the people of God free to go to their promised land. And 1 John 2 and 28 says, "And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested." And in the context and in other verses that say the same, this is talking about manifested in us. It's a shining forth of the Lord in us, that we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Obviously, if he's shining forth in us, we won't be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is born of him, or begotten of him. And 1 John 3, 2 through 10 says, "We know that if he shall be manifested," not when he shall appear. It's a false doctrine that got in there. This is what it actually says in the Greek. "If he shall be manifested, we shall be like him." So if he's manifested in us, we will be like him. "For we shall see him even as he is." Yeah, if you look in the mirror and see another Jesus, that's what you're going to become. We need to see him as he is. An epiphany here in manifested, the word manifested, means to shine forth from, right? "And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself." If you have this hope of coming into the purity of Christ, sanctification it's called, you know, you purify yourself. You take the word of God like a two-edged sword and you go to work, right? And it says, "even as he is pure." This is the power of God, not the power of man. "Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested." This is the word parousia, which means appearing or coming, right? "And you know that he was manifested," he did come, "to take away sins, and him is no sin." In him is no sin. If you're abiding in Christ, that's not abiding in sin. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." When he's coming in you, guess what? The old man is passing away and the new man is coming to life. "And whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born or begotten of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now that's pretty common sense there, but you'd be surprised how many people don't believe it. And she said, "Immediately David was clothed in armor, so that the horse stomped his foot." And it says, "Immediately David was clothed in armor, and he took off his helmet and shoved his sword into the ground." Well, in the beginning of this revelation, the David man-child was attacked. Then Claire, in the dream, rebuked the demon-possessed faction, and then he was protected by armor to fight the enemy. See here? Okay. The sword in the ground represents using the two-edged sword of the word to put to death the flesh, which is represented by the earth or the ground. Remember, Adam, the natural man, was created from the ground, from the earth, right? Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart." How much we need the Word of God living in us, because that is Jesus living in us. Amen. And as he did so, meaning manifested death, right? Light went straight through him and up through his head into the heavens, meaning resurrection life, caught up to the throne. The man child must manifest death to self in order to manifest resurrection life. Amen? He looked like a knight bending on one knee in front of a king. The king seemed to be giving David glory for being faithful from the light coming out of his head. Yes, of course, and of course David again represents this David man-child ministry that is coming. And they're coming to manifest Christ is what they're coming to do, and to show others that it is possible to manifest Christ. Well, this reminds me of a revelation that I have shared by Philip Zermano. And here's a portion of it. We called it Spearheading the Man-Child Ministry, because that's what the Lord told him that UBM was doing. And this was given around 2005. We know that God is building this ministry to spread his truth to a multitude of babies about to come looking for answers when this nation is chastened. I share this revelation for your edification and preparation, not to give any credit to myself. Jesus told us that whenever we have done all that we know to do, to consider ourselves as unprofitable servants. And this is because we do not earn God's grace. It is freely given through the faith that he gives. And no man should feel worthy of the great things that God is about to do through them. You know, furthermore, many are called to and promised the man-child ministry, but few will be chosen. And it says, I am praying to be counted worthy. Many times we brethren have had visions of me, and it is because God is using my name to identify the corporate body of the Son of David that Jesus will be manifested in to shepherd his flock, as he said that he would do. And in these last days, like in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 31, and Jeremiah 30, 6 through 9, and 21 through 24. So God has promised this in these last days, and he's going to do it. And whoever he chooses, and he of course is going to choose people who are faithful by his grace. And this is what Philip is about to talk about here. A prophet named Philip Zermano shared this vision with us. He said, "I have prayed for 3 days now for the Holy Father's will in this matter of sharing the vision I received during a meeting with David as the speaker." And that was in Phoenix, which is a type of resurrection life. "I am permitted to share the following. As I prayed with David at the start of the meeting," because I prayed with everybody at the start of the meeting, and Philip was there, he was in the audience, "I saw the room change into a stadium filled with people, and David was at the podium shouting through a microphone that was in the shape of a shofar. He wore a silver yarmulke that glowed as he spoke, and from above it came a white golden light pouring down from the sky as a beam of glory, growing brighter with each outpouring. From David's clothing came the same glory lights pouring through the zitzit on his garment, flowing like fingers through the people. They touched the forehead and were grabbed by the right hand of people who became pregnant and began shouting as they were covered in glory. And this is the vision I had at the meeting. The Holy Father says that David would know its meaning, if not now, very soon. Well, we've received quite a few meanings from it. I may share with that in a minute. But he said, months after that meeting, we received this from Philip. Holy Yahweh is forming this ministry into his image to spearhead the man-child ministry birthing and delivery to the world. And that's why, of course, we have spent so much time and revelations given to us from the Lord to share with the people about the coming man-child ministry, that they won't be caught by surprise, because it is about here. It is here, but it isn't manifested the catching up to the throne yet, the final anointing. And he has given this to me in a mighty vision that ran continued for 3 nights. So he continued to get revelations of this for 3 nights after he got it. And again, this is not talking about me. It's a revelation concerning the David man-child ministry. Okay? And whoever God chooses is faithful to be in that first fruits. Okay, so then we got this here, too. This is Man-Child Judges the Faction. We're talking about the works of this man-child that is coming. What will they do, you know? Sandy Shaw got this on 7/21/21. Well, first of all, we spoke above concerning the man-child conquering the factious traitors who killed the people of God and tried, like the dragon, to devour the man-child and the woman in Revelation 12. Jesus, the man-child, spoke the judgment of 70 AD on Israel, which, according to Josephus, came because they killed Jesus and his apostles. And Moses, the man-child, spoke the judgments on Egypt, which freed God's people. So some people think that the man-child is coming just in the way that Jesus first came. But we know that he is coming this time with a sword and with judgment too. Not just with grace, not just with power for the church, but that way too. He's coming this way to fulfill the types and shadows that the Bible gives us concerning this. So, like Moses, who was the man-child of his day and spoke the judgments on Egypt and freed God's people. And when the man-child David was anointed, he conquered the factious Edomites, who were traitors to their own brethren, as Esau, their father, was to Jacob. And likewise, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, 3 leaders of a faction that rebelled against the man-child Moses, who spoke the words that swallowed them by the earth. And interestingly enough, we just received a revelation of 3 active leaders in the faction who were running from an earthquake and were killed. Very interesting. This dream starts when I can see one of these men, this is Sandy speaking, and his wife were outside somewhere. And there was evidence that there had been earthquakes. Well, our dreams for many years have shown that the man-child ministry is anointed in the midst of the greatest earthquakes the U.S. has ever had. And we have much on our site about these earthquakes and the coming forth of the man-child. It's kind of like the opening of the womb, so to speak, and the bringing forth of the man-child. Well, Sandy went on to say she was very fearful, and he told her, "Our God will protect us." So the husband of this woman, these people whom we know, as a matter of fact, who factioned out and have fought us over the years, he said to his wife, "Our God will protect us." And Sandy said, "Suddenly the ground opened and they both fell in." Well, when these people are taken over and reprobated by Satan, they only have one ministry, and that's to destroy the works of the gospel going forth, of people understanding the things that we're understanding here, so on. That's all they do. That's the only ministry they have. And they're full of hatred and vile slander. And they do what they can through slander to destroy the body of Christ. But Psalm 101 and 5 says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Well, this particular person, he declared himself an elder, and then a prophet, and then an apostle, and, you know, just total arrogance, which happens to these folks when they get taken over like that. Then I saw the latest factious leader in Tennessee, and there were earthquakes already there also. Then came a strong rolling earthquake. He tried to run. He said, "Where do I go? Where do I go?" He ran to the side of a house, and then the house fell on him. Well, the Lord spoke to me what this meant. It means the vengeance of his temple. This is the vengeance of his temple, his house, right? God will destroy those Babylonians who destroy his house or temple, representing his people. Jeremiah 50 and 28 says, "The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple." They were declaring what God was doing to destroy the Babylonians for what they did to God's temple. And the faction, of course, are Babylonians. They are the dragon of Revelation 12, too. They are the head of the dragon. And there are many others, too, that joined them in that. But they are the ones seeking to devour the man-child, like Herod did, right? And now I saw the factious leader's assistant, who was running when he ran into a tree. He hit his head, and he fell back and died. And that what I heard when I read this was the tree is the tree in Daniel that represented Babylon, which we have seen from dreams would help to start the earthquakes. And Sandy had dreams about that too, that they were beginning earthquakes to bring judgment on America. And God said that he would use to judge apostate Christianity and the faction. See, God says he told us from the beginning that he was going to use Babylon to bring down apostate Christianity and the faction. And this is, of course, so that God's people will be ready to follow the reformers into the wilderness. It will take a shaking to do that, so to speak. Yes, it will. And it's happening. Look around you. But the real shakings are coming, too. Then I saw a sister who recently factioned, but I couldn't remember anything that happened to her, but I knew that as we prayed for her, she would return from her sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I know this. We know these people, all of these people here. And then I saw an elderly couple with grown kids. They were living near the fault line near Loudoun. And they thought if they were near the fault line when the earthquake hit, that they would be safe. Meaning, of course, there was already the stress was already relieved because of the fault line. But that's not necessarily so, because fault lines can open wider, you know. But that was not the case. When the stronger earthquake hit, the fault line became so wide it sucked down the ground, trees, houses, and people. Well, this is the fault that filled with water in our dreams and was too wide to see across. You know, you'd be surprised because of the curvature of the earth. In case you don't know that, look across the water and watch a boat leaving. Before long, it drops below the water because of the curvature of the earth. Some people don't know that. It doesn't take very far to where you can't see the other side. Then Sandy said, I woke up with a praying heart. Well, amen. I agree. And that's what we ought to all be doing, praying. For this dream I received by faith at random, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. Yes, indeed. We entered into the rest, which is ceasing from our works, and we are not disobedient to the Lord. And I've prayed to the Lord to bring Pauls out of the Sauls in this faction movement. And I really wish with all of my heart that they could all be saved. But God keeps telling us, no, it's not going to happen. And we understand, because it is a repetition of history. Well, like the man-child Jesus, the man-child of our day will bring about the falling and rising of many. Luke 2 and 34 says, And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Yes, it was in Jesus' day, and it will in this day too, but history will repeat. So we've seen the falling. You know, I just shared that revelation with you. And here's a dream of a great multitude rising because of the man-child's ministry, or the Lord's ministry through the man-child, right? We call this man-child resurrects the fruit of the church. And this was given to Rian Pinar, 7/28/21. Rian said, I dreamed that I was in an outdoor balcony where people were being served food. Some people from the table next to me said, The boy is dead. This boy represents the fruit of the apostate Christians who are God's elect but are currently stuck in the Babylonish church system. And Christ in them has been killed. By their spiritual food of religious false doctrines that have allowed their flesh to live. And that's not what we're here for. We're here to die. And, of course, the doctrines of the Babylonian church are to save them from dying. I'm talking about dying to self, right? So this boy represents that fruit of that church that is apostate and so on. They pointed to a little boy on the floor, and as I looked to my right, I saw a small boy, stiff and dead. Well, that reminded me of this, 1 Kings 17:17-18. And it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Remember, breath and spirit are synonymous words quite often in the scriptures. And they come from the same Hebrew word and Greek word in the New Testament in some cases. And she said unto Elijah, who was a man-child, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Thou art come unto me to bring my sin to remembrance and to slay my son." That's sin that slays the son. If a person walks after the flesh, they must die, Paul said, right? The woman church's spiritual man died because there was no breath or spirit of life there. No revelation of the power over sin that God wants us to have. They don't believe that you have to overcome sin. So that's, of course, what they get. And Rion said, "I turned to pray for him to be raised from the dead. And as I put my hand behind his head to lift him up, before I could even pray, he came back alive." Well, when you do this to raise someone up, you have faith that they're going to be raised up, right? And you put your hand to raise them up. Well, when the man-child ministers are anointed, they will speak the true word of God into the true church to raise up their spiritual man, who is their fruit. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? The Christ child is growing in each one of us. We are like Mary, Jesus said, right? "He that doeth the will of my Father is my mother," he said, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It will be totally a work of God and not of man, because man can't do this. But we have faith in God to do this. Many will be brought into true discipleship to revive their soul in the coming great revival. 1 Kings 17:19-24 goes on to say, "And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried her up into the chamber where he abode and laid him upon his own bed." Meaning, bring her fruit into his own rest. Right, his own rest. The rest of the man-child he is going to pass on to the fruit of the woman to resurrect them. "And he cried unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow?" So this is a woman, but she is a widow. The church is a widow because their first husband, Satan, died. Right? "With whom I sojourn, by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And 3 represents death, burial, and resurrection. And by imparting his own life to their spiritual man. That's what the man-child will do. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He was the man-child. He also will do it through a body of people today. "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." So resurrection life came to the fruit and spiritual man of the woman church. "And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, Now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth." Well, why? Because the word that came out of him would bring life to their spiritual man. "Thou, I know thou art a man of God." The dead churches don't have that authority or power. You know, the true word will revive the soul of the dead church. This will prove the true word and the man-child. I received the following verse by faith at random, Job 9 and 10. That doeth great things past finding out, yea, marvelous things without number. Yes, of course, the man-child ministry will do these things because the Lord lives in them through the Word and Spirit, right? I asked if this dream is for the body or only personal and received Matthew 22 and 39. And a second like unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, of course, whatever we have, we want to pass on, right, to our neighbors. And Rion said, I believe this dream is an image of love for your neighbor, having faith in God doing the marvelous work through us and Him getting all the glory for it, not by our works, but through our faith. Amen. This is true. Okay, now Claire Pinar got this, 7-6-21. We called it Man-Child Teaches in the Wilderness. This is the first of two dreams that were joined together, actually one day apart. Okay. I dreamed I was in a desert. That's representing the 7-year wilderness tribulation period, which we are almost there, folks. I'm telling you. In this desert was a large school or hotel that was all white. And Rion put a note in here. He said, as we will see in this dream, in the wilderness tribulation, many are going to be taught by the man-child and, of course, come into this maturity. This hotel is many, many houses put together into one, as Paul spoke. So, Reformation ministers in whom Christ epiphanies, or shines forth from, during the latter rain anointing. That's what this is. Inside were two parts, a huge conference room, and then many hotel rooms with beds and bathrooms for each guest or pair of guests. The two parts of the hotel represent learning the good news of the gospel and resting and getting cleaned up in sanctification in the newfound promises of God. The man-child will reveal many things to God's elect who have departed Babylon to seek the true kingdom of God in the wilderness tribulation. And Rion means little king, representing the corporate body of the man-child ministers. And Rion was standing at the front of the conference room dressed in his high visibility orange uniform that he wears when working for the mine. He works for a mine. The Lord will make the man-child company impossible to miss, he says in his note. And that's true because the latter rain anointing falls on them first. This anointing is going to make them very visible, as it was with Jesus. He was the first to receive the former rain, then later poured out the former rain on the people, right? Amen. So history's just repeating, same scenario. In his hand was a black pen. We believe this represents the writer's inkhorn in Ezekiel 9. And he was explaining in depth how we were going to mine this area. Well, mining the area in the wilderness represents God's judgments falling to separate the sheep from the goats and the lukewarm from the elect of God. Ezekiel 9, 3 through 11 says this, he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry over the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. So this is the mark of God on people, right? There's a mark of God in the Scriptures, and there is a mark of Antichrist in the Scriptures. And to others, he said in my hearing, go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Okay, so basically this is culling the people who have the mark of the devil on them. making sure not to kill anybody who has the mark of God on them. Then they began at the old men that were before the house, because they should know better. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth, and smote in the city. And it came to pass, while they were smiting, and I was left, that I fell upon my face, and cried, and said, Ah, Lord Jehovah, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy wrath upon Jerusalem? This was apostate Jerusalem, right? And then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and of Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of resting of judgment. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So the Lord is going to make a separation, and he is going to judge the wicked. He explained what kinds of minerals there were, like why they were important and what each mineral compound was. The minerals so wanted and needed in the kingdom represent our works wrought through Christ in us. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 says, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is obviously in the Scriptures, right? Which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold and silver and costly stones, those are obviously representative of godly works, right? Wood, hay, and stubble, representative of worthless works. Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. Obviously, the fiery trials that we go through are to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. And obviously, because that's the old man, the old life, the self works, even religious life, right? And verse 14 says, if any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, being saved through fire means that all of your works are burned up, right? You were saved, just you were saved. Many will be saved, but with comparatively few rewards if they spent too much time in worthless works that don't bear fruit. See, we've been given a period of time to bear fruit. If we spend it on worthless works, we do not bear fruit. So going on, There were 12 minerals and 12 companies that were coming in to mine them. He explained what each company did and why each was specifically looking for their particular mineral. Anrion said, "At this time, the man-child will no longer be hidden, and he will be choosing his two witnesses like Jesus chose his 12 disciples as a type of the two-witness company." That's true. This two-witness company he sent out as a corporate body, two by two. You see, he sent out the two witnesses, a corporate body. And Mark 6 and 7 says, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth, two by two, or by two and two, depending on which translation you look at. But he sent them out as a twosome. And a company represents a corporate body refined by fire and trials to be precious stones like the 12 stones on the priest's ephod. The number 12 represents governmental authority in the Bible. There were 12 patriarchs of Israel, 12 patriarch disciples of Jesus, whom he delegated spiritual authority over the people of God, like Matthew 10, 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, Go not in any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And of course, today the same thing is going to happen, is going to the church, the New Testament spiritual Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's another art that's lost among so-called leaders. Okay, God is so awesome. You know, he's following a pattern. 12 can be the number of the 12 tribes, meaning the completeness of God's people. It's the 12 patriarchs, so on and so forth. And Jesus had his 12 patriarchs. One, like Dan, fell away, you know, which was Judas. I was very supportive of him in the dream, but I found this talk going way over my head. He'd never spoken like this or in this kind of detail to me or anyone else before. So suddenly the man-child, Rion, is speaking in a term that's above anything he's spoken before. In fact, we were both surprised at his knowledge, and I remember thinking, where did he learn that? And how does he know this? Well, this reminded me of John 7 and 15. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Of course, what they meant was, Jesus never went to their Bible college. He went to God's Bible college. And a note here, even in talking with him after this dream, we both laughed, and he agreed, saying, I don't know stuff like that, and I don't talk like that. And Rion said, Walking in the latter rain anointing will be greater than the former rain, although in the same line of work. And what he's saying is, this great anointing is going to come, and these people are going to be perfect prophets, I call them. Not in a small measure of correctness, right? They'll have a full anointing. I went back to our hotel room to rest, and my mom was there, sitting on a gray couch next to my side of the bed. Well, I believe Claire's mom represents the gray or dead church, which the bride is coming out of, who does not believe in resting in God's works through Christ in us. She prefers to sit in her own dead self-works, which will not bear fruit or gain her entrance into the kingdom of heaven. This is what, of course, the reformers are coming to do for the church, to resurrect their dead fruit, right? Revelation 3, 14 through 21 says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I want to tell you what this literally means. It means they're going to be spit out of the body of Christ. This is the great falling away that is spoken about. A third of the stars of heaven falling to the earth. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and have gotten riches, and have need of nothing." This is the opinion of a lot of the people in the church. "And knowest not that thou art wretched, one, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Of course, God doesn't see as man sees, right? This is the problem. People are told, you're okay because you're in this religion, and you're listening to this preacher, and he speaks so well, you know. No, it doesn't work that way. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire." Fire is the fiery trial you get when you believe the word of God. "That thou mayest become rich, and white garments." He wants them to become rich in the kingdom, not in the ways of the world. "And white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, that thy shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest." Nakedness represents sin. "An eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Oh, it's imperative that the church repents at this time. Imperative. Many are going to lose their eternal souls. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. He that overcometh," overcometh what? Sin. "Will I give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Amen. Church teaches, no, you don't have to overcome sin. That's all. Everything's taken care of. Jesus overcame sin so that we could overcome sin because we were in him when he was crucified. We were crucified with Christ. Our sins were put on the cross. And now we believe that until it comes to pass. Amen. "She had one of her friends in the room too. This older woman was seated at the dressing table and spoke to my mom while not taking her eyes off herself in the mirror for hours." Of course, if you look, see your old natural face in the mirror, you're going to be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. That's what the Bible says. "This older friend represents Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots, who is totally obsessed with self and teaches everyone else to be that way too." Yes, that's true. "I went to sleep around 9 p.m. and woke up at 1 a.m. in the dream, and they were still talking. I said to my mom, 'Please, please, make her stop. She just drones on, and I need to rest.'" Yes, she drones on about what she sees in the mirror of self. That they don't have faith that they can see Jesus in the mirror. They see self, so they can't ever do the works. They don't know the gospel. "They wear out the saints with their powerless moralizing and doctrines of justification by self-works and self-efforts to try to earn their salvation. They don't understand our need to rest in the faith of the promises of God's word and so be justified by faith." And Rion put a note here. He said, "The woman church is focused on the self-works of talking and not actions of faith. It is a distraction to those who want to rest in the Word. Yes, that's true. Rion was in bed with me at this stage and offered me earplugs. I took them and plugged my ears, but this woman continued droning until 4 a.m. Eventually, they fell quiet, and I could rest for a few hours before getting up at 6 or 7 a.m. I was aware of all these times vividly in the dream. And I opened my Bible by faith at random to Isaiah 35 and 8 with my finger on shall be there. And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, that's a man traveling on a well-traveled road, a broad road, right? The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. So it is a highway of holiness, and the Bible declares that it leads to Zion, which is the bride. Only the holy will be in the bride. Okay, we have another revelation here. Man-child teaches in the wilderness, and the bride is healed. And this is part two, because this is a dream the next day. And Claire Pinar got this on 7/7/21. I had dreamed I was surveying a large desert area again, and then hovered over a large auditorium. Then I was placed at the front entrance of the auditorium, and Rion and I walked into it. Rion meaning little king, and Claire's meaning bright, shining brilliance, representing the man, child, and bride, the first fruits. And these two corporate bodies will epiphany through first at the beginning of the seven-year wilderness tribulation period. As you know, Jesus went out and said, you. He chose the 12 to follow him, and John the Baptist said that these were the bride with the bridegroom. Amen. The auditorium had three different parts, like the temple in the Old Testament. The three were the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. And these represented our mobile tabernacles in the wilderness, where the man-child will rule and reign in his people. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming up in September. This coming year, 2021 and 2022, because their year is not quite our year, is another Jubilee year, according to the Jewish calendar, a Jubilee year. And then suddenly Rion was in the innermost part of the auditorium, which we would call the Holy of Holies, with a whiteboard teaching. Well, Jesus will come suddenly to his temple, the Bible says, and that temple is the man-child. Malachi 3:1-5 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That was John the Baptist. That's the repentance word that's gone out for some time. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. There is the anointing of the man-child. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, what's his work? What is the work of Jesus and the man-child? What is he going to do? The same thing that Jesus did personally a couple of thousand years ago, right? But who can abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. and he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. That's the ministry, right? The priesthood. And refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. Now, it's important that the priesthood is raised up in order to do the same thing that the Lord, through the man-child, is doing to them. Okay? Because their job is to continue to pass this on. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in ancient years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. That's witchcraft, same thing, so which we're getting quite a bit of out of the faction, right? And against the adulterers, there that too. And against the false swearers, amen. And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right. And fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, they turn aside the sojourners from the gospel. What was given to us, right? I was right there watching. This time I have no recollection of what he was drawing or saying. The bride, of course, will be right there with the man-child, receiving his wisdom to help the masses of people who will be seeking truth in the coming days of the tribulation. Then I was picked up by two angels and put in the middle or second section, representing the holy place. Right? I heard their voice say, "We are going to heal you. Do three stomach crunches, and each time we'll match that force with which you do them." I said, "Okay," and they laid me on the floor. I knew this part of the auditorium was for children or those who were sick. Well, the holy place was where the priests cleansed themselves and made sacrifices for the people to God so that the people could be healed and forgiven of their sins, right? So I did the three crunches, and each time I did one, the angels would touch my upper abs, representing my heart and lungs. After the third time, I laid there flat, and I was glowing. I had a white garment on, and it shone. And Rion's note here said, laying flat and doing ab crunches is a picture of resting but doing the works of faith. While the man-child is teaching from the Holy of Holies, the bride is exercising her faith. Yeah. Well, 1 Timothy 4 and 8 says, "For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness, which is spiritual exercise, is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which is now and of that which is to come." Then the angels picked me up, and I went back into the inner section where Rion was teaching, and then I woke up. And Rion said, "In the physical, Claire manifested her healing after this dream." So she physically got a healing. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Godward from 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, in context 6 through 10. "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example unto all them that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned unto God from idols, to serve a living and a true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, even Jesus, who delivereth us from the wrath to come." So the great fruit that went out from the first apostles and into the people continued to spread as it is at this day. Oh, glory be to God. What an awesome revelation here. Thank you for joining us today, saints, and I pray that you will come into every bit of that. And I know that the church will have a resurrection because of the Reformers' ministry that is coming. Amen? All right. God bless you and keep you.